America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We'll see what Andrew Berry has to say about that.
Jeremy Fowler, now Lee Corso.
I think so. I've always said same guy when we talk. It's just like Mike Gundy and Nick Saban. Same guy, same coach, just different haircut. Hi, Cavs. They tied the record. How are we feeling?
Well, yeah, the record that you care so much about stays intact in what turned out to be a pretty close game. Here's what was genius about what you did yesterday, and I want to go ahead because you had me. I was thinking about you as the game was going on, and I said you
have played, that effect on people.
You played this one beautifully last night because you know we're keeping tabs of what each other have to say and all that because we want to hold each other accountable. And I'm sitting there last night, and I'm like, wait a second. So Nick before the game said he was worried about it being a trap game. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, a trap game because you're eight-point favorites. There's no Giannis out there on the court last night. And Nick was like, I don't know. I'm a little worried about this one.
And what did I say? Because this could be a game that Dame Lillard goes off.
And which completely flew in the face of what happened on Saturday, where both Dame and Giannis went off, but that's neither here nor there. And it just did not matter for Milwaukee at all. They combined us for 75 points. Didn't matter at all. But you would have won your take based off of the idea that if Milwaukee won the game, that was going to be a win for you because you called out this trap game. And then if the Cavs won the way that they did, then you get to talk about your perfect record and how you wanted to have the perfect record because you wanted them to hold some sort of record that isn't LeBron in Cavs history. And
all
isn't, I put myself back into a corner consistently. You developed a win-win situation last night.
All I heard was I went 2 for 2 last night. That's all I heard about my take on the game. Dame Lillard did go off 36 points, 5 of 9 from 3.
And it didn't matter, as I told you.
Right, but it was a close game. Could have been a trap game. You could have lost that game. Thank you, Darius, for the win. And the Cavs are now 8-0 with a real chance tomorrow night to go 9-0 and set the franchise record. Like
Hang the banner.
I'm a pig in slop right now. The reason why I think it matters is those are the kind of games. Like, I know the Bucks have, you know, like, I know the Bucks have a lot of expectations, and I know they're bad right now. But, like, all right, you played 2 days previously. Now there's no Giannis in this game. You won the previous game in a buzzer beater. Like, the old Cavs of last year just kind of look past that game. I don't think the Cavs look past the game. I think Milwaukee was just really super competitive, and I thought it was a great game.
It was an odd setup. And Saturday night was an odd setup in general because it was a back-to-back.
Yeah.
But Donovan played 22 minutes on Friday night because they had such a lead after the first quarter in Friday night's game that they kind of just they said, all right, Donovan, you're not going to play as much, and they kind of conserved themselves to then take on the Bucks, and everything had to come up perfect for them to be in the spot that they are, but they're playing fantastic basketball.
So it's interesting, while we're having that conversation, Darius had a huge game last night, 39 points, including those buckets late, 7 of 11 from three-point.
Yeah.
And so there's the Darius conversation that I think we got to get into. And do you want to do that first? Or you want to do the Atkinson part?
Yeah, the Darius is the most interesting out of everything from that happened last night. Darius is by far the most interesting part.
So I guess where I am at with Darius is, I like, because we can get to the credit for all this, but like, I don't see why you wouldn't look at what he's doing this year and go, oh, Darius is back. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, and I'm just not there.
Well, because, but here's the thing.
I want to be there. I'm just not there.
Can I tell you why? Because I, all along, and maybe this is confirmation bias, you can call me out on it if you think that's what this is. I thought last year was the maelstrom of crap that hit that kid.
That's exactly right. The season, like, from hell is what it's being dubbed.
Yeah, and
that's actually what it says in his basketball reference page. It doesn't say last year, just season from hell.
Like, there was the, you know, getting hit with a jaw, losing all that weight because his jaw was...
Yeah, putting the blender on the table to eat the steak.
On the table in Paris. There was losing a family member. And then when he came back, it's just... There was no chemistry because I don't think they had time to get it right, nor did they have the context to get it right, because it was basically by that point, oh, no, you're just going to have to watch Donovan Cook.
Well, and then it also turned into then Clutch, his agency, saying he wanted to be traded, yeah. And then he spent the entire summer telling people how he didn't want to be traded, and he was angry as hell that that got out.
Yeah, like, but my point is, like, from the basketball perspective, when everybody spent the entire summer running down Darius, they said... I mean, guys, like, that doesn't happen. Like, let's think back to the... It's like we disregarded the first year of Darius and Donovan, where they played together phenomenally, and Darius's stats didn't drop. In some cases, they went up while sharing the ball together. It's so, like, last year felt like the, well, we're just going to blame this on these two guys don't fit together. And that was not a Cavs friendly narrative. That was like a systemic thing to stir the, well, they don't fit together thing, and completely devoid of the notion of what actually happened on the year. So to me, last year was the anomaly, and whether it's the offseason or the new head coach or the new system or the new this or eating steak with a fork and knife again, like, whatever it is, I think that's why I think it's okay to look at this and go, oh, he's averaging 21 points a game and he's really, really good at shooting again. Oh, okay, then last year was the part that was missing.
I'm also open to the idea, though, that if he gets hit in the jaw and just kind of feels like a little bit of, oh, I remember what that felt like, maybe we don't get the same aggressive Darius that we've had. But it's also only been two games for me, Nick. That's why I can't 100% buy in yet. I like the idea that Darius spent the offseason understanding that his NBA value was in the toilet and got upset by that and was like, I'm going to show them. And now he spent the first couple weeks of the season showing people why they were wrong about him and why he's changed everything. I just need a little bit more time in seeing Darius actually be the guy that we've seen now last Monday at the Garden and then last night as well.
I don't think that's unfair, but I just want to point out, like with any of these guys, like, it's been 2 of 8 games where Evan has been as dominant as that first game. It's been like 2 games where Donovan has been as Donovan as Donovan. I like it. Keep it. Coin in minute. Make shirts up. Donovan. TikTok. But getting back to this, sorry. Where Donovan on that Saturday night, we're like, okay, he's had 2 of those games. Like, I think what you're seeing is, like, I don't think we should be down on Darius because he's only had 2 games like last night, because I think this is set up to everybody kind of take their turn one way or another.
I don't think anyone's down on him. I just don't want to say I can expect Darius to, when it is his turn, to be able to turn it on the way that he has. I mean, he's been incredible. Like, some of the advanced basketball numbers that I was looking at earlier today, he's had a better season than Donovan, and it's not even close. He's been that good.
So then what's the sample size?
That's the problem in the conversation, is that I want to give him a bunch of credit, but I'm also looking around and saying it's too tiny
sample size. What I mean is, like, what's the sample size that'll make you go, oh, okay, all right, last year was the mirage.
Oh, yeah, basically I think we got to be January, maybe, somewhere around there, 3 months of solid basketball.
So what's that, 30 games, 40 games?
Yeah, maybe around there, because he does have it in his past. Like, there's a reason why I was such a fan of Darius previously, is I've seen him be an all-star. I've seen him do it. I know it's in there. And I should believe last year was exactly what you're describing. Just a perfect storm of just bad and awful. But something did happen last year.
I just don't get how, all right, he had 3 seasons at a specific level. Then last year comes along. And by the way, the numbers, the straight up numbers don't look that bad. It's when you dig into them that the numbers start to age.
I mean, I got an email from this person. They've sent it to me basically every other week for 3 months now about how Darius, based off of their metrics and their everything, Darius has the 3rd worst NBA contract in the league right now.
Yeah, okay. But getting back to this idea, I don't know why you would need 40 games of this if we've got 3 seasons of elite or all-star Darius?
No, I'm not saying elite. No, he was not three seasons of elite.
Okay, what would you classify the three seasons?
I think the time with Donovan, he has been fine.
So you mean the year before? Wasn't he an all-star the year before Donovan got here?
Before Donovan got here. Okay. We're judging in the Donovan Mitchell era. The whole system of all this is, can you do it two guards?
Yeah, well, but he did. He was averaging the same points per game 2 years ago with Donovan. And by the way, his three-point numbers were at an all-time high 2 years ago with Donovan.
I'm not going to go ahead and just spew out my mouth and be like, I have to pull up his basketball reference page, even fact check what you're saying right now. Mm-hmm. But the idea that all of a sudden he's going to go from being this great player 2 years ago to being a bad player last year to then back reversing course to being a great player or good to great player, whatever that is. I need to see it. I need to see it more.
I admit
it's in there. I'm not trying to say anything bad about Darius. I admit it. It's in there. But I don't think we have way more. I think what you're getting at is we have way more history of him being great than we do of him being bad. And so we have to side on the error of great. And I'm just not there.
Okay.
Right? I think it's unreasonable to expect or to want to see it more.
I think if we talk about Darius's trade value, which is a conversation for probably another day. Yeah, I think most of the NBA would say, okay, it's been 8 games. Talk to me in February, and then we'll talk about his trade value. I think for me, because the difference is people in the NBA don't watch Darius every night.
Right.
For me, like, I'm seeing the way he's working on and off ball. I'm seeing the way he's shooting. I'm seeing the fact that, like for some reason, this guy is a hands-to-the-face magnet. I don't, like, it's not just because he hasn't been popped in the face yet this season. One, it's going to happen.
Well,
two,
it changed his game, and I think that's part of all of this.
Well, but this is
it
always...
It generally did change his
game.
Like,
it wasn't just last year where all of a sudden the guy just randomly got hit in the face. I don't know what it is about him. I feel like his whole career...
He never broke his jaw until last year.
Well, yeah, didn't he break his orbital socket a couple years ago?
Well, he's always been... That's the other thing about Darius that we kind of, like, talk about but don't talk about enough. He's gone through a lot of injuries in his career.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but the two previous years, he played 68 out of 82 games, which in the NBA now means you played 82 games.
Yeah, but his whole college career didn't exist because he was injured, and then he has had shortened seasons. How many years?
I think you're grasping at straws now.
No, but it's true.
Well, no, I mean, I just think, like,
but
in
it
the
is
big,
true.
I think in the big picture of, like, I understand the idea of let's see more.
But why is it so bad that I want to be open to Darius, but I'm not, after two games of him being awesome, willing to say he's back and he's the best player we've ever seen?
I don't think anybody's saying that.
It feels like that's the expectation you want out of me here.
No. I think Darius being back is different than Darius being the best basketball player I've ever seen. You see what I'm saying? Like, Darius being back to who he was 2 years ago before the injuries and the Perry steak and all this other kind of stuff, like, that Darius is good enough to get not just win with, which you did 2 years ago and upset everybody's apple cart with being the 4 seed when nobody expected that. Not only can you win with that, I think the other teams in the NBA look around and go, oh, well, maybe we should be willing to help. Again, if that's the Cavs' prerogative, if that's what Darius truly still wants.
Oh, so you think we're all just building up towards one big trade with Darius?
I think it can be both things. I think Darius again allows you infinite possibilities.
Because I think if Darius is playing the way we've seen in the first couple weeks, then I think you're back to the core four. You're back to, like, this is a legitimate team you can take really far.
Now you're back to a position of power. And when Darius last year, you had no power.
No, you couldn't trade him for a bag of basketballs last year.
Because his stock was devalued to a point, and that puts you in a position where you didn't have a choice. At least going forward, one, it gives you a chance to do some stuff in the playoffs if Darius can be like this in the playoffs. And two, it then allows you options if you want it. I'm not saying you should, but the best case scenario is that Darius continues to do this. And considering the previous body of work, I just don't think, because I could say the same thing about, well, it was 57 games last year and there are reasons to explain away. Like, my sample size, which is, what is it? What's 68 plus 69? That amount of games plus 8 games this year is more than the 57 games last year. 216-474-0092. Is it too early to celebrate Darius turning the corner? I do see your point about sample size. And I will say that I can understand if anybody's there. I guess my thing is, I never bought into this idea of a diminished Darius Garland in the first place. And when we come back, credit with your Cleveland Cavaliers, where it's due and where it is not given on 92.3 The Fan. The Browns already trending Za'Darius Smith to the Lions, and obviously we have more in the Browns to get to, but we were just talking about Darius, and I want to give you another because I kind of
I just want to know if you well I mean did I come over to your side? Is that what happened?
Is that
the end result
of
that?
Did I woo you to the Darius side?
Did you bully me into being a Darius Garland guy, which by the way, historically, I will say I was one of the first Darius Garland guys. I jumped off. We did bandwagons. I jumped. Don't laugh at that.
Is this you trying to say?
I jumped off
the previous segment.
It's not saving anything. I'm not buying into the idea that two games Darius Garland is fixed and awesome. Like, if we had how many GMs in the NBA line up, would they make any sort of different trade offers than what they wouldn't have made last year? Like, clearly something happened last year. I think you make a lot of great points, though. Like, I do love the idea that we can look at last year and just kind of push it to the side. Mm-hmm. I think I still live with too much carnage from last year, because in many ways I look at Darius and I think about how the season could have gone drastically different if Darius was just the Darius we're seeing right now. But maybe I just need to look at that as a sunken cost, and it just is what it is.
So I might be able to meet you in the middle on this. I can't definitively tell you or anybody else listening that Darius won't come back. And I'm not just talking about the on the court. I'm talking about the off the court stuff with the trade request. I can't definitively tell you that won't rear its head, because I think as long as Darius and Donovan are playing, there's always going to be some underlying tension, not personally, but professionally.
Well, I mean, I looked at a lot of the numbers earlier today, and I see him. I can go through all the Basketball Reference, all
Please
these
fights.
I'm not going to, don't worry. But like, I can tell you all these numbers where Donovan is just way behind Darius right now. And I look at it and I'm like, clearly Donovan is happy playing this role for Darius right now. Is Donovan going to be happy with that 3 months from now, 4 months from now? Like, even if the Cavs are playing their best basketball, and this is the best version of their basketball, but Donovan's not looked at as a top 10 player in the league because he's playing this almost second fiddle role, and that's what it has been to Darius. Is he okay with that? Is he going to run with that? I don't know. Maybe last year, and the fact that Donovan he had some postseason success for sure. You won a postseason series, but the story on him is getting pretty clear, Nick. Like, he doesn't play in conference title games, hasn't his entire career. Maybe he'll push that aside, but then again, maybe he won't.
So I do wonder if part of the Kenny Atkinson effect is getting these guys to buy into hey, 82 games prepares us for the 28 final games, and yeah, you can score 28 points a game if you want, Donovan, but it might be better if you played 30 minutes a night, you scored 24 points per game, and then the playoffs, you were 100% healthy.
Right. I mean, JB ran him in the ground consistently, and he seemed like he was fine about that, though. He was signing up for that. That's why he always did that late push right before the postseason games, whereas like the final four games before the postseason, he would go for 40 points and play 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was like, it's just unnecessary.
So I think this thing's going to ebb and flow. I think there's going to be times where, that's what this is set up. If you're not going to have a Jason Tatum, a Jaylen Brown, a Giannis, the benefit of that is in the regular season, you can kind of just play hot potato. And I think that's the benefit of this. And what that will also do is everyone's numbers are going to look so much better. And that's where we get into the value concept and how people think of you. Like, if it's just Donovan and the Donettes, Donovating?
Donovating?
I think I've now butchered the thing that I butchered previously.
I don't know that Donovating is your best work, but
I don't think any of it's my best work.
I kind of liked it, though. I could see it on a shirt.
If it's just that, I think people are going to look, well, but it's just Donovan having to carry the load, and it's got a ceiling to it. I think if all four guys are doing what they're doing here through the first eight games, I think Darius can be real, and Evan Stark can be real, and Jarrett Stark can be real. And by the way, Ty Jerome Stark can be real. Like,
What do we explain away last year with? Is it just he just was mentally broke? Is he just physically broke? Like, we still have to account for what last year was.
An anomaly?
Or do we just not want to? Do we just want to just do? We can if you want to. We can just bury our heads in it and just say it was what it was.
I think he was injured. I think there was just a lot of things that went into that, injuries, personal stuff. And then I think by the time he got healthy, I think he was still playing underweight, and I think he got into his own head. And yeah, by the way, and this is no offense to JB Bickerstaff, I don't think JB's the guy to, because JB didn't have one half of the equation. JB did not have Donovan's ear. And so to make it better, you need a coach that has both guys invested in the coach. You didn't have that. So I don't want to try and make it all just a victim of circumstance stuff, because at some point you got to control the things that are happening to you and react to them favorably. But at the same point, like, yeah, I mean, I think it was, because I feel like if I just go, well, it's a victim of circumstance, it's a cop-out, but I think it's probably true. From a sports talk perspective, it might sound like a cop-out. I don't think it is. I think that's exactly what happened. Just how that's how I almost said that's how she goes. That's
I mean, it is weird. It's weird that after, what was that, his fifth year in the league last year, that all of a sudden it would just be the season from hell, quote unquote, and everything. I mean, I'm open to the idea that it was just a one-off. Let's put it that way. If we can meet somewhere in the middle there, I'm open to the idea that it was just that.
So while we're talking about credit,
not saying he's the greatest thing I've ever seen, but I'm open to the idea that it was just a one-off.
No one said he had to say he's the greatest thing you've ever seen. So while we're talking about credit,
he played like it last night.
I'll take 39 points from Darius anytime.
I don't think people are. I mean, I know everyone's understanding, but like he was so incredible. He was next level incredible last night.
He's had those stretches. He can do that. Like, and that's what I do think is so cool about the Cavs. I don't know what it means for the postseason, but on any given night, Evan can go for 30. On any given night, Darius can go for 30. On any given night, Donovan can go for 30. And Jared's probably not going to be a 30-point guy, but like he can go for a stretch where he gets 15 points in the fourth quarter and takes over a game. Like, I don't know how many teams have those guys, four guys that can do that. And if one guy doesn't have it, you look to the next and go, you up?
Yeah, their offensive rating entering last night's game was second in the NBA. Last year, they were around like middle of the pack, Nick. Like, imagine it's like the Guardians going from them being the worst hitting home run team in baseball, like they were 2 years ago, to then being, I mean, last year they were like 12th when it finished all and was all said and done. Let's say they were all of a sudden second. I mean, it's like, it was a massive, it's a massive jump.
It's almost
what they're able to do offensively.
It's almost like head coach matters.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which is funny because, you know, again, I'm all with this Cavs team. Low commitment casual. You guys know this.
What is low commitment casual?
That means I am here to enjoy the sweet fruits of this Cavs team, but I'm not here to lock it down. I'm not here to put a ring on it. In the words of Beyonce, I don't know why it's Beyonce, but I'm not here. I'm not ready to do the expectations thing. I'm just ready to enjoy what's happening. And then at some point go, okay, here's your credit because you've done a good job so far. And like, I think it's wild that certain segments of Cavs media, Cavs Twitter, there's no credit going to my guy, Kenny Atkinson. By the way, we do bandwagons tomorrow. I'm on the Atkinson bandwagon.
I think we all were from game one, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's.
Yeah, it was noticeable in one game.
It's anybody but JB for me. So
always has been.
I mean, I don't say anybody, but was
Pistons,
almost anybody.
Pistons have won two straight now. Have you seen that?
That's true. Do they?
How about them beating the Lakers last night?
I'm not going to turn into taking a shot at JB.
How about them being JJ Redick last night?
So I think the...
Is JB Bickerstaff better than JJ Redick?
216-474. I hope we were going to do it together. No, but to what
I stopped
saying,
after the 216 part of it. Oh, in the future, right, we'll keep going.
But with this being said... Because I heard Lima say something today with the Bonin boys, and I thought he laid out a very salient case here. But it got to the idea of credit for Darius's bounce back and Evan Mobley's jump forward. And I think this is just a narrative that I never bought into, that I still don't buy into today.
I've seen other people go right to the look at what Kenny Atkinson has done, and I'm like, can we give Darius credit? Because maybe he just took all those rumors.
But it's the only thing that's different.
Hold on. Everything that was being said about him last year, and he's healthy, so he got to come into the season healthy. Maybe he got his mind right. I don't know what he did in the offseason. It's not like he was with Team USA. He wasn't even considered. I wonder if all that stuff has been a slight that Darius was like, I got to get back to being the guy that got this contract. I got to be the guy that was supposed to be, you know, at a certain level, because last year was such a disaster all the way around, really from start to finish. So I give him the credit. And it just so happens that now Evan Mobley's in his fourth year, more mature. He's getting better. Even though his numbers are not that drastically different from what they were last year. Like last night, he had two coast-to-coasts. He had two of them that I counted. Well, last year and the year before that, he'd maybe have two of those in a week and a half. We had two of them last night. So that's the type of empowerment that maybe, you know, you do give Atkinson credit for. But eventually, probably got to give Mobley credit. We all saw the talent. We just wondered when he was going to get there. So maybe we'll give Atkinson credit for, you know, tapping him on the shoulder, because they said the very first meetings were all about Evan Mobley. But I kind of feel like whoever would have been head coach, it would have been all about Evan Mobley.
So just to start here, when did we start, just because you're giving credit to one person,
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the equation, that means you're not giving credit to the other one.
Like, we gotta like choose our credit. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like.
Can't they both get credit?
I cannot give Kenny Atkinson credit because I've already given my debits to Darius Garland. Like, can't we split them up?
It sounds very sports talk radio. I kind of see what he was doing there because we choose sides a lot and that's kind of a thing we do around these parts. So I'm not going to hammer Lima for that concept.
Well, no,
but I do think, well, first of all, I think it's too early to tell one way or another who would get the bulk of the credit. You want to have that discussion?
Well, we will, but I just, so the reason why, because I don't think it's just Lima that's doing this. So I'm like, I thought he made some interesting points. I will say.
Well, the Team USA one, I think, is always the interesting one.
Yeah, but we're playing armchair psychologist. Like, Jaylen Brown. Hey, the Celtics aren't going to be bad this year because Jaylen Brown is really smarting from that snub. It's like, okay. Or he's just a really good basketball player.
No, I think it's more the idea that Atkinson wasn't even around the team because he was, you know, he was in Paris and he was coaching Team France and he was doing everything that wasn't coaching Darius, essentially. But we don't know what he was doing in the time that he wasn't coaching Team France.
Well,
who knows?
Probably maybe eating steak through a straw, like just to
or the,
bond
the
with
the
Darius.
Faux gras.
Like foie gras?
I think it's faux gras. Faux gras?
I think it's foie gras. But
you
I
tried a little bit of it when we went to, was it Costa Rica? No, it was Mexico. We went to Mexico and there was a place and they had it. And
you didn't try it in France, you tried it.
I tried it in Mexico. No. Okay. There was like a European themed. It was one of those resorts. You go to the different themed restaurants because they're never like here's a burrito. Enjoy it. It's like here you have to choose the Mexican spot. You choose the European spot. You choose the for some reason there's always an Italian spot at these resorts. I don't know why. And I had the faux gras.
I had Chinese in.
It wasn't very
in
good.
Jamaica.
By the way.
It also wasn't very good. Yeah. But to like your point there, not about foie gras, but I or what? Now I can't even say it anymore.
Yeah, I think it's
but here's the thing, specific to what you said there, is Darius doing this if there's not an offensive system around him?
I don't think so. Not like this.
Is Evan?
No, I don't think so. I think this is where you have to give Atkinson credit.
So that's where, like, yes, of course, Darius had to get right, and he had to get his body right, and he had to get his mind right, and he had to get past whatever trade request there was or wasn't. But last night, like, I'm not saying he wouldn't be better just based off of moving away from last year, But I think what a great offensive system does is it just makes it easier on the players.
But that also, though, then makes it seem like they're a product of the system almost. And I don't believe that that's true at all.
No, but I think in the NBA, this gets back to dual credit. Like, okay, you can be individually great players, that your game can be raised, or your collective games can be raised by the situation you're in, and that's where the head coach comes in. I think Lima's tapping into a narrative that I think is trash, and I think it's been proven to be trash. I want to be real clear here. I think everybody thinks, well, how much does the head coach matter anymore? Guys, this isn't Golden State. Like the whole point of the head coach didn't matter was because it was Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Like, it was four future Hall of Famers in the perfect situation.
Well, and we directly see, again, the offensive numbers, the pace numbers, everything that is correlating with something that it would be directly related to Atkinson.
Well, but I just think we're also taking, like, just because guys aren't like Pat Riley and playing armchair psychologist, there's that phrase again, that all of a sudden coaches have no value. No, the NBA is as split in terms of like the brands from like 10 teams across the board, two superstars per team. In the case of the Cavs, potentially three. Like, the talent is so widespread, the parity is so good, that coaching has always mattered, yeah. But it matters again, and it starts with the system that your guys are in.
Well, and you're seeing it in a couple different spots, too. You're seeing it in, like, Phoenix, for instance, right now. Like, But I always think this happens with sports in general, too, right? Maybe not football as much, because it's recognized that the head coach is almost as important as the quarterback, but in baseball, this happens all the time, where we go through these cycles. So I remember as recently as half a decade ago, managers were basically useless in the advanced analytic baseball community, and now in the past, like, offseason, they're starting to regain the value behind managers, and they're finding these little pockets where managers actually, you know, do impact games. And I feel like basketball is going through that same identity crisis right now as well, where there's a lot of that. Well, there's only so many sets, and they don't do this, and then you're working under the underbelly of it all, and it's just like, oh, this is completely different than what you guys thought 4 years ago.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of groupthink in sports, and I think that narrative got out of control.
For sure.
216-474-0092. If you can only hand out one credit, one kudo, does it go to Kenny Atkinson or does it go to Darius Garland? We might follow up on this. Of course, we got the deadline to pay attention to also. Next on 92.3 The Fan.
They need some help, though. They do. They need some cornerback help, for sure.
I just like the idea that Les Snead, the Rams general manager, is like, I can't let him go for anything less than your seventh rounder this year, and I'll send you my seventh rounder next year. Deal? I mean, I'll just sit here and pay him his money the rest of the year.
Yeah, but you know, they thought so hard about it. They had meetings over it. They stressed over it. And then they're like, all right, we'll get the deal done.
Yeah, I just got to get that seventh rounder a year earlier.
I don't know why I look at every single trade that happens as if it's like them landing a mission with NASA. And afterwards, they applaud each other. And they're like, oh, yeah, great job.
Is it because you watched SNL this weekend and they had Beppo the monkey, NASA scheme?
You've told me about that like seven times is what happened
there.
You know
what? Because I'm proud.
Let me tell people this. I go in, and so Nick and I both love John Mulaney, okay? Yep. And so John Mulaney hosted SNL this week, and I'm not a big SNL guy, but when they have a host I like, I'll watch. Like Bill Burr, I'll watch that one this next week. And then we're talking about some of the bits, and I'm like, oh, Elise and I both agree. This one bit was just the worst.
Yep.
And it's the one that you love the most.
Yeah.
That you've watched seven times since.
Let's be clear. This is just a difference of comedic enjoyment.
Yeah.
Like, I think the dumber, the funnier. Like, I think if you can really get the stupid out, whereas I think other people look at dumb humor and is like, oh, that can't be funny because it's dumb. Meaning, like, it's beneath you. Where
I don't think it's beneath me.
I kind of felt like you were, I'm not trying to jam you up.
I just
on
don't
this.
Do, no, jam me up, please. Tell me more about myself, Nick, please. Let's go down that road. As Nick tells me the other day, he's like, I think I learned that people don't like when I tell them about themselves. And so I'm like, tell me more about me. I'm not a big fan of dumb humor, but I realize like 90% of people in life are. In fact, yeah. I feel like this is going to sound not great, but I'm going to say it anyway. I feel like you've helped me in that department because I enjoy your humor and your humor. Sometimes you go for all the innuendos, you go for all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty funny.
All right. So now I'm going to match. You're giving yourself credit,
yes,
while taking a shot at me,
yeah,
by then giving myself credit by taking a shot at everybody else. I think the smartest people enjoy dumb comedy. See, I've really propped myself up there because I've already admitted to loving dumb comedy.
You might be right.
But yeah, basically it's about a space chimp on his path home. And do you know why? Because so my kid, Izzy, this is my doppelganger. Two Mulaney bits that involves Monkey Judge and Beppo the Astronaut.
My two least favorite Mulaney bits of all time. Yes.
And also, like, the last two mornings, she's like, yeah, I'm not getting out of bed unless we watch Beppo. And I'm like, twist my arm.
And
oh,
I
no.
love that for her, by the way. Like, she might end up being John Mulaney one day. Who knows?
Yes. Sans the trips to rehab.
Hopefully.
Yeah, John Mulaney plus sobriety. Like, right out of the gate. We don't have to get it right, you know, three times later. Right?
But he wasn't that funny when he was sober.
Take a little off the fastball there.
What?
As much as I enjoy.
His best work is when he was clearly having problems.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not saying I took joy in that. I'm just saying the reality of it.
I think that's
the thing. How do you wrestle with this? I don't know. You tell me.
I think that's the thing we don't say out loud, though.
It's a little late for that.
As the guy who says.
It's a little late for that.
The thing we don't say out loud.
I'm very happy he's gotten help. I'm very happy that he's doing well.
But you miss the old Mulaney.
I do miss the old Mulaney.
That's the subject comments there.
I miss the old Mulaney.
So when we were talking about the Browns pre-show, I think now that we got 10 minutes till the deadline, the Browns traded Za'Darius Smith for a fifth rounder this year and then a pick swap that I can't really even give myself to mention is a seventh rounder next in 2026 for a sixth rounder. So basically, you're moving up a round in 2026 and you're getting a 2025 fifth rounder. This is getting very confusing. I'm getting annoyed. But so that trade's done. They also released Quentin Jefferson. And as we just start heading into the deadline, in case there's any news here, the question I had early on the show, because it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was listening to Zach Jackson just tear him apart.
Yeah, what did you say? An acid tongue, Zach Jackson?
Acid tongue, yeah.
Acid tongue?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've had Daryl on.
It's a good name for like a bowling team, by the way. Acid tongue, Zach Jackson. Fantasy football?
No.
Neither?
No, I don't think so.
All right, just me then.
You tried it. It's okay. That sounded much
better. I tried your dumb humor thing. Turns out it's not for everybody.
You just got to be smart about
it. That's it. You just got to be smart about it.
What did you get most wrong about this Browns team? Because they got a lot, by the way.
Where do you want to start? Do you want me to list them all in order? Places I got them wrong.
I want to start at the top.
Seven. You know, an eight tiered thing.
No.
I don't know where I got it wrong.
I don't want the second thing you got most wrong. The third most wrong.
I think Sean ultimately is the biggest one because I didn't think he'd be that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people will tell me, Jonathan, you're an idiot. In hindsight, everyone should have seen that coming. But I was in the camp of people explaining how. I mean, I took way too much out of a Tennessee and Arizona game last year. My goodness. He was good in both of them last year. It was the best version of Deshaun we'd ever seen. I thought he'd be much better. I mean, I don't know how anybody could have thought he'd be. I know how people thought he'd be as bad as he was. He was as bad as he was, but in no world did I think he'd be as bad as he was.
All right, so just because I'm not trying to absolve you here because I would be in the same camp with you. Guys, this was a different level of stink.
Like also, who in the world could have thought that the offensive line would be last in the league?
Yeah, I think it's so funny, like, because I think I really missed. I think I was most right about my concern about the change at offensive line coach.
Yeah, I think I undervalued that.
Yeah.
And it's not even undervaluing it because here's where I'll kind of connect some of the dots. The offensive line last year graded out in like the 22nd range, Nick. It's not like they were, even with Bill Callahan, it's not like they were the greatest offensive line we've ever seen. I just in no world thought we could have an offensive line with as many Pro Bowlers, with a potential future Hall of Famer. Didn't matter who was coaching it, how you could be at one point 31st out of 32nd and then ended up being 32nd out of 32nd.
But you could explain away by saying, look at who your tackles were in like week eight for that. Like, this was a different level of stink. This is not being able to function. And, like, I think that's, like, it. Because I want to get back to the Deshaun thing, though, real quick. I think we just kind of lump it all together. And there's a part of me that says, let's just treat it like a bad, like, business investment. It's a tax write-off. Move on. But at the same point, we're having this conversation. Nobody saw it being that bad. You can say, I didn't see it working out. I saw that it wasn't going to be top 10. Whatever. That was Bruce Gradkowski bad.
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody got that right. 216-474-0092. What did you get most wrong about the 2024 Cleveland Browns, other than we thought they might be a good team? That and the final results of the trade deadline next on 92.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.